Please turn to Hosea chapter 13. Hosea 13. And we're going to be looking verses 15 and 16, and then chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Hosea 13, verses 15 and 16, and then chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Verse number 15, it says, "Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their woman with child shall be ripped up. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips." Today, many people want to be successful in life. You know, you may have, some program, 7 steps to success, or some, new program somebody's trying to sell on how to be successful in business. You know, you've probably seen the ads, or maybe in the newspaper, or seen, somebody advertising, work from your home and get, $60,000 a year by doing, medical something or other, writing down medical records, and you think, especially in today's economy, it just kind of sounds too good to be true, and there might be different success schemes, so to speak, out there on how people can have success. We find here that Israel, although at one time was successful, is now being brought to desolation. And from these passages, we can see some important truths that show us what true success is all about. And first of all, in this passage, we find that true success is rooted in the right source. Now, if you're going to have true success in your life, it must begin with you finding that success in the right source. Notice what it says in verse 15. He says, "Though he be fruitful among his brethren." Now, if we back up in verse 12, it says, "The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid." Many times in the book of Hosea, the word of God singles out Ephraim, that tribe in Israel, but many times I believe although it speaks of Ephraim specifically, it's speaking as well to the whole, all the tribes of Israel in the southern, in the northern kingdom. And if you go to the book of Genesis, you find that Jacob, as he was prophesying what was going to take place to his different children, the blessing that he put upon each one in Genesis chapter 49. He speaks specifically of Ephraim and what would happen to him. Genesis 49 verse 22, or speaks specifically about Joseph, who Ephraim was the son of Joseph, says, "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall." All right, so Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. You find in Psalm chapter 1, you find the picture of a tree planted by the rivers of water. It talks about the man who delights himself. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. All right, so when a tree has that source of nourishment, what happens? They produce fruit. All right, they grow. There is success that takes place because they have the right source of nourishment. And in Genesis, it was prophesied that Ephraim would be fruitful, like that bow, like that plant, planted next to a well, planted next to a source of water. And it says, though he be fruitful among his brethren, notice what it says, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness. All right, so an east wind in the land of Palestine, which I've mentioned before, was a dry wind, a scorching wind. Not what you would want to come on your crops. All right, and that east wind was going to come. In fact, you would have an invading nation coming from the east upon them. It says, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. So this success that the children of Israel had was going to be gone. It was all going to be taken away. God was going to take it from them. Now ultimately, why did this take place? Well, it's because Israel had gone to the wrong source to look for that which they wanted. If we go through the book of Hosea, if we go to a few verses before, in verse 6, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Hosea chapter 11, verse 7, says, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Notice they are departing from the source of true success. What does it say in Psalm 1? How is true success brought about? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law shall he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Like that tree planted by that source of nourishment. All right, speaking of a believer whose nourishment is found in the Word of God. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. In order to have real success, you must be rooted in the right source. Israel had departed from that source of nourishment. They had gone backsliding from their God. And now the outward, that prosperity, the blessings of God that were come upon them, those things were going to be dried up and were going to be gone. You know, sometimes when we depart from the source of nourishment, the outward effects of that departure do not always take place immediately. Sometimes they take place immediately, other times they do not. If you think of certain plants, you know, you could go out in the summertime, maybe you're weeding your garden, you know, and you accidentally pull out the wrong plant. And maybe you say, well, I'll try to replant this plant. You know, and you put it back in the ground, and maybe a lot of the root structure was destroyed. Or maybe you're a child and, you know, your parents told you to go out and weed and said, now be careful, you don't pull out any plants.
And, you know, so the child goes out there and weeds, and, you know, they're not as careful as they should be. And, you know, maybe there's 10 tomato plants there, and they accidentally pull out five of them. And they think, well, we'll just kind of put them back in the ground quick and cover them up with dirt, and it'll look fine. Well, about 20 minutes later, those plants are already what? Already wilting and showing the effects of being pulled out from their source of nourishment. Now, at the same time, you could go up to a pine tree or a spruce tree, and as long as it's not in the fresh season of growth when the fresh candles are coming on there and you have that new soft growth, I mean, you could cut down a spruce tree in August or September or whenever, especially if you did it during the winter, and you could cut it down and you could, you know, stick it right in the ground, and you could come back 20, 30 minutes later and you would never know that. You might not have any sign that that tree had been cut down and cut off. But eventually that thing's going to turn brown and it's going to be unsuccessful. You know, sometimes it doesn't always happen right away. We don't always see the effects right away of departing from that source of nourishment. And some of the outward effects, so to speak, the inward effects happen immediately, really. You know, that supply is cut off and it gradually works its way to the outside. You know, sometimes those effects aren't apparent right away. And in the life of Israel, you know, these things, the blessings of God, maybe were still there for a time. But God was going to send another nation in, and those things were going to be taken away. We find that true success is rooted in the right source. When you depart from that source, we're going to depart from the position that God has put us in. In Hosea chapter 13 and verse 4, how did Israel even arrive to the point where they were? Well, it says, "Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me." Who is responsible for Israel rising to the position that they had? Well, it was God. He took Abraham and he made a nation out of him. All right, it was nothing really of Israel that they got to the place where they were. But they arrived at the position and the place of blessing that they were in because of what God had done in their lives. And as they departed from that source of blessing, their success and what had taken place was going to be cut off. It was going to be dried up. Their treasures were going to be spoiled. But not only do we find is true success rooted in the right source, but we find that true success takes place in the realm of submission. Notice what it says here in verse 16. It says, "Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up." Why is all this going to take place? Well, it says, because she hath rebelled against her God. True success takes place in the realm of submission. Submission to God. I remember the story of somebody was telling me of a man who was committing sin, was about ready to commit sin. And, you know, the man was like, was quoting scripture while he was on his way to commit this sin. You know, hoping that that would deter him from what he was going to do. Well, quoting scripture was a good thing, but what was he supposed to do? Submit himself to that scripture that he was quoting. You know, real success takes place not just as we are rooted in the Word of God, in the right source, and as we are rooted in, obviously, God is going to give us the power to obey it, but it takes place in the realm of submission as we submit ourselves to that Word that we are hearing. You know, James chapter 1, what does it say? "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, we can hear the Word of God, but if we don't do it, if we don't live it, it isn't doing us much good. So it takes place in the realm of submission. Here, the people of God, the ones that were supposed to know,
the word of God, but yet they had rebelled against their God. And we already looked at some verses, but let's look at a few more. Hosea 9:1. Some other verses in the book of Hosea. Notice what it says. It says, "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy is other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor." Chapter 8 and verse 11, a couple of verses early. "Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin." Chapter 8 and verse 4. It says, "They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off." Notice that they have set up kings, but not by me. Israel had gone out from the realm of submission to God. We're also leaving the realm of His protection. Now it's interesting, in Judges chapter 7 and verse number 20, what did the men say as, you know, you have Gideon's band of 300 men, right? And here's this whole host of the Midianites out there, right? And here's 300 men. How in the world were 300 men going to defeat this whole host? Well, what did they say? They said, "The sword of" who? "The Lord and of Gideon." All right, and when they submitted themselves to the kingship of God, when they submitted himself to their to his authority, when Israel would return, would repent, what would God do? Well, he would save them. And see, we can choose who, you know, the king you choose to submit to is the king you are choosing to protect you. And as Israel would submit themselves to God, he would come to their defense and would offer his protection. You know, true success takes place in the realm of submission to God. Why? As we submit to God, his arm of protection, his hand of protection is upon our lives. You know, do you want God's sword fighting for you, or do you want his hand fighting against you? Notice some of the things that were going to take place, some of the awful things that were going to take place because of this rebellion that the children of Israel were committing against God. It says, "They shall fall by the sword." You know, instead of having the sword of the Lord at their defense, for their protection, like the days of Gideon, "they shall fall by the sword." It says, "Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up." You know, not only was this going to come upon the present generation, but even the next generation that was coming forth from the wombs of the women as well was going to be destroyed because of judgment by God. And you think of the land of nation. Here, this is judgment upon people. You know, this is one of the judgments that God pronounces upon them. Their women with child shall be ripped up. And then you think of our country today and our nation. You know, and the gruesome act of abortion and what people are doing of their own will. You know, here it's another foreign nation coming against them doing it. But you think of really just the gruesome nature of what is happening in our own nation. And as we choose to do this very judgment ourselves, people do it upon themselves. So we find true success takes place in the realm of submission. As we choose to submit ourselves to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud,
and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, what is this all in the context of? Humbling ourselves, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. What is this all in the context of humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God? Well, it's in the context of what? Submitting yourselves to God. All right, so as we submit ourselves to God, what takes place? We're going to be humbling ourselves before Him. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that what? That He may exalt you in due time. All right, so if we want real success, it takes place in the realm of submission. As we submit ourselves to God, He can bring true success into our lives. You know, our world says, be independent, do your own thing, you know, live your own dream out. But God's Word says, submit yourself to God. Humble yourselves before Him that He may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, what master are we going to choose this evening? Are we going to choose the good God of heaven who cares for us and is requesting us to cast our care upon Him? Or are we going to choose the adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? You know, God is not seeking to devour people, but here in chapter 16 we find that He had to send the enemy upon Israel because of their lack of submission to His Word. Then we find in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Then verse 2, it says, take with you words, and what? And turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity. We find true success takes place in the return of separation. And we find here that this has two aspects. There's a separating of themselves from sin, of God taking the sin out of their lives. And we also find the aspect of them separating themselves to God. All right, notice here, it says, return unto the Lord. All right, they are separating themselves unto God. For thou, why? For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Their iniquity took them away from God. That is what made them fall. We looked at in the last message, we saw how one of the first steps in gaining victory over problems is that you have to recognize the source of your problems. What is it? It's yourself. What did it say in verse number 9? O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Chapter 14, verse 1. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. All right, what do they need to do? They needed to be removed from that which caused them to fall, and it was their very sin. And so we, in our own lives, we need to recognize that sin which has caused us to fall. All right, it's not some sin that someone made us do. It's not some sin that the devil made us do, although he may have deceived us, but we chose to follow him. But it is our iniquity. And if we're going to have real success, if we're going to get back on the road of spiritual success, of spiritual enrichment in our lives, where God can have His hand of blessing and protection upon our lives, we must return to the place of separation where we separate ourselves from that which caused us to fall. You know, we're in a, you know, the state of Wisconsin now obviously has gone through a lot of, you know, turmoil and upheaval in the last few weeks. And, you know, there's obviously things that have gotten us into the financial crisis that we're in. You know, you hear different terms, you know, thrown out there that we're in the hole like $3 some billion, and, you know, however, I don't know for sure how much the budget shortfall is for this year. But obviously we have some financial problems in our state. You know, sometimes, you know, we live in a society that has kind of come to accept debt, so to speak, and living with debt.
And I mean, look at the federal government, you know, and the trillions of dollars of debt that we're in. You know, if we're ever going to get out of a problem, though, that we've gotten ourselves into, how are we going to get out of it? Well, we have to understand what has caused us to get into the mess that we're in. All right, and we need to separate ourselves from those things that have gotten us into the problem so we can get past the problem and get into the place where we can be successful once again. If you look, you're just from a monetary standpoint, I mean, if somebody, you know, says, I mean, if somebody really loved cars, you know, and maybe they have a job at McDonald's, you know, and they're earning $8.50 an hour, but they really love cars. You know, so they go down to the car dealership and they buy a brand new car, and you know that $8.50 an hour job is just not quite doing it for them. You know, they bought this new car, and you know, maybe they decide, well, I really need some money bad. You know, and so they start, you know, maybe they start saying, well, I need to start buying some lottery tickets. You know, so I can get my way out of this problem. Well, they get into deeper problems. You know, now they're wasting their money on that. You know, and maybe it leads to some other problem. You know, and then they say, boy, this car, you know, is 3 months old. I need to get another new one. You know, and then, boy, now they got to pay this car payment too, and they lost all this money in the other car. And so now they decide, you know, and, you know, people can do things like this. You know, boy, the only way out is, boy, I got to rob somebody. You know, and they're getting themselves into deeper and deeper issues. Well, they have a problem with covetousness, don't they? And they need to get victory over that problem. They need to understand what's gotten them into the mess that they're in, and they need to separate themselves from that thing that is bringing them down. It's their own sin. It's their own iniquity. It's, you know, it's not the McDonald's isn't paying me enough money to work there. Okay, McDonald's wasn't the problem. They're only getting $8.50 an hour, and if McDonald's was paying me $30 an hour, then I wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in. You know, and sometimes, you know, people want to blame other people for their problems when they need to realize the problem in their lives is their own sin that they need to separate from so that they can get on the pathway that God wants them to be on. So true success takes place in the return to separation. First of all, separating ourselves from sin, separating ourselves from that which caused us to get to the point where we're at. Israel had a lot of issues that caused them to get where they were at. And it said, take with you words and turn to the Lord, saying to him, take away all iniquity. You know, sometimes people still enjoy their sin too much, and they don't want to get to the point where they say, Lord, take it out of my life. You know, do you really want victory over that sin that you're struggling with? You know, all of us probably have some sort of sin that we struggle with. You know, do we really want victory over that? Are we willing to come to the Lord and say, Lord, take it out of my life? You know, are we still hanging on to something? You know, there's some sort of enjoyment that we're still getting from it. But it says, take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Here we need to what? We need to separate ourselves unto the Lord. By God's grace, by his goodness, is the only way we can be received back into his hands. You know, back in the passage we looked at in 1 Peter chapter 5, what did it say? 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to go back there. It said, for what? Be clothed with humility, for God what? Resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in what? In due time. You know, sometimes we want the timing to be right now. You know, we want to jump out of everything, and we want God to just rescue us, and, you know, we want it all to be solved just like that. You know, but God wants us to put our faith and trust and confidence in him and allow Him to take care of the details in His timing, rather than thinking that our timing is a timing that God wants. That He may exalt you in due time. But what is it? It says He gives grace to the humble. And here the children of Israel, God's come to me. You know, ask me to take away your iniquity. Ask me to receive you graciously. You know, not coming to God like we deserve something. Like we deserve for Him to do that work in our lives. But it is a work of His goodness. But notice the result of this work. As we separate ourselves from this sin, as we separate ourselves unto God, as we set apart our lives for His work, His working. It says, so will we render the calves of our lips. So will we render the calves of our lips. Now the word calves there is, you know, what it is? Calves is the idea of a bullock. All right, in the Old Testament, what's one of the offerings that they had? Well, it was a bullock. All right, so will we render the calves or the bullock of our lips. All right, so here in the Old Testament, there was the peace offering. I believe one aspect of the peace offering was the thank offering. All right, and so here they are brought back into a right relationship with God. All right, there is a peace, so to speak, that takes place as we're brought back into a right relationship with God. And what is the result? Well, it is our lips what? Giving thanks for what God has done. Notice a couple verses regarding this. If you can go to Psalm 69. You know, that offering that they would make was what? Well, it was something that would happen, you know, at a time. Once that offering was burnt up, it was gone. Or once it was eaten, it was gone. But our lips are something that can continually offer a thank offering to the Lord for what He has done. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. All right, so here we find that God is, it says here, He's more pleased with our lips offering praise, offering thanksgiving. Obviously, it is lips that are giving from a heart of thanks for what God has done. It says, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock. You know, think of the fact that God is pleased with believers that thank Him for the goodness, for the peace that He has provided us in our lives. God is pleased with something like that. Boy, I mean, with, you know, however many people are here tonight, I don't know, 180, 90, somewhere around there probably. You know, imagine if every one of us, as we sang a hymn, grabbed a hold of that truth. That God is pleased with us offering the sacrifice of praise as we sing these hymns of worship to Him. You know, do we really offer a sacrifice of praise? Do we give of ourselves? Do we give of our hearts, of our emotion, of our will, in offering praise to God? Or is it something that we do half-heartedly? In Hebrews, it also reiterates this in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13. And verse number 15. It says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. All right, not just something that's done once in a while. All right, not just a sacrifice that is brought at various times. But it says, the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. You know, this should be something that is something that is free-flowing, so to speak, from our mouths, giving thanks, giving praise to His name. And as Israel was brought into a right relationship with God, the outflow of that was going to be thanksgiving, was going to be the sacrifice, the bullock of their lips, the sacrifice of their lips, praising God for His gracious work on their behalf. You know, maybe tonight we need to step back and think, why is that song not in my life? You know, it could be sin that is separating us from having that song in our hearts. You know, there may be some sin that needs to be taken care of tonight. We may need to say, Lord, take it away from my life. Receive us graciously. And as we experience that cleansing that comes through the blood of Christ, that offering of praise, the fruit of our lips giving praise to His name, is pleasing and appropriate for what God has done in our lives. It is the result of God's working in our lives. I wonder tonight, is there true success in your life? Have you been floundering, so to speak, in your Christian life? You know, maybe you need to get back to the place where your life is rooted in the Word of God. Your life is rooted in the source, getting the right nutrition so you can have that success that comes. You know, maybe it's tonight that you need to get back into that place, the realm of submission, where you're simply following what God has said. Or maybe there is, tonight you need to recognize the source of that problem. You need to separate from it. You just need to come before the Lord. Say, Lord, take that iniquity away. Receive me graciously. And from that will flow a song of praise to God because of what He has done. You know, maybe tonight you just need to sit back and you need to think. You need to remind yourself of what God has done in your life. You know, without Him, where would we be? Well, every one of us would be on the pathway to destruction, would be on the pathway to hell. But yet God has worked marvelously in our lives. And He is pleased as we thank Him, as we praise Him. You know, not just obviously in the congregation, but also as we live our daily lives, as we come in the morning, as we do our devotions, as we pray, we need to thank God. We need to praise Him. We need to live continually with a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness for what He has done. You know, if Israel would have lived in that state where they recognized that every good thing that they had was from God, it would have helped them. It would have enabled them to stay close to God instead of wandering far from Him. You know, young people, you want to stay close to God? Be thankful. You know, you want to get away from God? Become ungrateful. Start complaining. And guess what? You'll soon find yourself far away from God. Learn to be thankful for God's goodness in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray You would help us to learn from this example in the life of Israel tonight, Lord, as they departed from the source of all blessing, of all nourishment, Lord, as they departed from Your side, Lord, they went after broken cisterns that could hold no water. And yet, Lord, You are the fountain of life. Lord, I pray tonight that we would root our lives in the true source of nourishment.
Lord, that we might be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. Lord, that our lives would not wither away, but that they would be fruitful in your service. Lord, tonight, if there is something that you are speaking to our hearts about, Lord, may we cry out for the removal of that sin which is hindering us from bringing honor and glory to your name. And Lord, may you receive us graciously, Lord, for we do not deserve your mercy or your favor. And Lord, as you receive us, may our hearts be filled with thanksgiving as we recognize, Lord, what we deserve, but yet, Lord, the great goodness that you have blessed us with. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.